Hello, welcome to Take 127 on Ship Full of Bombs, Thames Delta Independent Radio, sfob.co.uk. I'm a little hungover. Joe, you're a little hungover as well, aren't you?
I'm really hungover.
Yeah. Mark?
No, I'm not hungover in the slightest.
Mike?
Me, no, I'm not hungover.
You sure? Are you drunk?
I'm drunk. Hello there, everybody. Welcome. My name's Dan. I'm hosting.
I'm Mark. I am saying stuff and twiddling knobs.
I'm Joe, and I'm here. I'm very happy with myself for turning up.
I'm Mike, and I'm guesting.
Guesting?
Guesting.
Are you a special guest? Don't you come every month?
Well, it's not that special. Really,
not really. Right, so continuing with our theme of one of us choosing all three movies.
Because it's going so well.
Theme we might well soon abandon entirely. Mark was the person that has chosen all three of the films.
Well, not quite. I didn't actually choose Walter Bashir. I was reminded of it and I thought, yeah, that'd do. Because I can't think of another one.
Yeah.
That's the level of care we take with our show. Yeah. That'll do. Yeah.
We did manage to dissuade you from including Despicable Me 3, didn't
yes,
we?
Which I
Although,
really
having
wanted.
Said that, yeah. I would rather See? Watch that than Spirited Away.
Absolutely. I agree entirely.
Mark, would you like to tell us what the theme is?
For yes, the theme is animation, but with an adult theme. Mm-hmm. So it's not quite, as you say, it's not the Emoji Movie and Cars 3.
Oh. Actually...
Joe did a very good review of the Emoji Movie on her website, which would have been fantastic.
So should just read that out.
Yes, without the swearing, but so that would have been very short.
It's, very short without the swearing, yeah.
Yes, so it's adult animation.
Adult animation. Marvellous. So shall we move then to the first film, which actually is going to be you.
It is, yes. And the first film is the 2001... Studio Ghibli film directed by Hayao Miyazaki called Spirited Away. Japanese title is Sento Chichiro no Komikakushi. And the Komikakushi is a...
Check you out.
Yeah, I've been doing it. I've done no Wikipedia, obviously, today. Komikakushi is a sort of a mysterious disappearance or death of a person that happens when an angered god takes a person away. And apparently, in Japan, postmodern Japan, it's said that children disappear and they're rediscovered several days later in a shrine or a temple, and they're talking about being abducted by a god of some description. So it's obviously some kind of it's a well known sort of fairy story in Japan. Mm. And the film centres on a 10-year-old girl called Chichiro and her parents who are travelling to their new home in a different part of Japan. And the father is driving, takes the wrong road, and they unknowingly enter sort of a magical world. The father wants the family to go and have an explore, or the little girl is saying, no, I don't want to go, but he sort of, the parents sort of persuade her to go along with them. And they're wandering through this sort of mysterious world, and they happen upon a food stall. And the parents want to eat the food on this food stall because they're hungry and not eating lunch and it smells delicious. And Chichiro says, I'm not doing that. And she sort of runs off. And then she discovers this sort of bathhouse. She meets a young boy called Haku who warns her that she must return home across the river or she will get trapped forever in the spirit world. Chichiro goes back to find her parents, but something very strange has happened to him. It's not a spoiler because it's very early on in the film. They've eaten and eaten all this food, and they've turned into pigs. So that's the kind of thing you're getting. It's a very, very fantastical film. Lots of weird things happening. The story that follows on there, and the Chichiro, she asks for a job at this bathhouse that she comes across. And she meets a ghost spider, which is called Kamaji, I think his name is. And also meets a woman called Lin, who's a worker there. She can't get a job working with this spider because he's already got soot that works for him. Sounds great, doesn't it? and he sends her off to find a witch called Yubaba, who is the owner of the bathhouse. And she gets a job, but part of the contract for this job is that this Yubaba renames her Sin. And the part that she finds out later on is if she is renamed and she forgets her original name, she will be trapped forever. Mm. And then the story follows on from that about her adventures with her and Haku and her trying to escape this spirit world. What did I think of it? It's beautifully done. There's no doubt about that. Studio Ghibli and the director are renowned for making these absolutely gorgeous animations. I have a slight problem with the westernization of the Japanese people, because they all look fairly Western, even though they're meant to be Japanese, and they obviously got Japanese names, and you know the faces. It's very much that style, isn't it? The Japanese do that kind of thing. What's the big comic books? What they call? I can't remember the name of them now.
Manga.
That's it. Yeah, manga. It's very manga style faces. They've got big sort of round eyes, opposed to the what you imagine people from Southeast Asia looking like. So it's very beautiful. It's very fantastical. I was just bored. I've seen it before, and I saw it when it came out, and I've actually got it on DVD, and I actually enjoyed watching watching the extras more than I'm watching the film. There's this substantial extras all about making the film, and it's fascinating, the process. Because a lot of it's hand drawn rather than it's computer animation, a lot of it. And I just thought it just didn't engage me. And I thought I watched the English dubbed versions as opposed to the Japanese version with subtitles. And some of the vocal performances I thought were, particularly by the little girl, were really overblown and not very good. That's a good people in it. David Ogden Stiers is in it, who was in MASH back in the day. Mm. And Susan Pleshett was in it as well. I really wanted to like it a lot. And I didn't hate it, but I was just bored. And it just didn't engage me. And that's my review.
And yet. It's not the first time you've seen it, because the first time you saw it, you actually quite liked it.
I did. Yeah, but it must be 10 years since I've seen it. Because I bought the DVD on the basis that the reviews were just outstanding for it, and it got 5-star reviews everywhere in Empire and all those kind of magazines, Total Film. Yeah. And when I really watched it, I thought, oh, yes, it's really enjoyable. And I actually, the girl I was seeing at the time had a young daughter who was about 6 or 7, and she used to watch it over and over and over again. She loved it. Mm. She was only about 7 or 8, but she really loved it. It's always on in the background, you know, because she used to watch it again and again. But I just didn't engage with it at all. I was just after about half an hour, I just want this to finish, and it's got another 1.5 hours to go yet. You know, it's one of those things. I didn't cut out on it. I did watch it all. I watched it to the end. But yeah, other people will probably like it, but I was just bored.
So, Joan, what do you think then, Spirited Away? Do you agree with Mark?
For the first time ever, I just don't have anything to say about this film. I'm really kind of speechless. I couldn't even watch it all. I'm really sorry to admit this. But my son really liked it, and he watched it with Japanese with the subtitles, actually, and he really loved it. But I'm so sorry to say, I just couldn't engage with it at all. That's terrible, isn't it? This is literally the worst review ever. So there you go. Sorry. But I have got some stuff to say about the other films.
So that's one lengthy review culminating in I didn't like it. And one extremely short review culminating in I didn't even watch it all.
I did try. Sorry.
Okay. So that's two maybes then so far for Spirited Away. Mike, save us. Give us some extraordinary insights.
I don't think that's going to happen. It's okay, wasn't it?
I thought
we are on fire this week. We okay, look, now I hope this isn't the first time you listen to the show because it's not usually like this.
Yeah, mate, listeners, maybe just skip this one
because we're about to
next month. Yeah. Skip the show entirely. Go on, mate.
No, that was it. That
really was it.
That was it.
Oh god,
I had. My notes that I've just dropped on the floor, I thought there's no point picking them up because I made so few notes about Spirited Away. But I will try to say something to, like,
please
keep,
yeah, save
keep the lines. Show on the road somehow. Yeah,
that'd be cool.
okay. Right. This is the first manga film I've ever seen.
It's not manga, though, is it?
Oh, I've never seen a manga film.
No, oh. You haven't, because this isn't a manga film.
What is it then?
It's a I said it's the actual facial style is very manga in as much as that they westernize the eyes to make it less.
So if it looks like manga.
But it's no, it's not. It's a Ghibli. Yeah.
And surely it is manga.
It's a Studio Ghibli trait as well. They do exactly the same kind of thing.
Studio Ghibli.
Yes. Don't fight, boys. Move on.
Well, whether it's manga or not, it's the first film called Spirited Away I've seen.
Me too.
In manga styling.
Me too.
And it's okay. The first bit, I knew nothing about this film. I knew it was probably, if you thought it was manga, which I did, but it isn't. I clearly that Mark knows far better than the rest of us. but I think he's quite right in that respect. It's probably not manga. I don't know what manga is, obviously. I have no idea. But it's Japanese, though, isn't it?
I don't think we should broadcast this show.
This made a show that was never broadcast. Yeah.
But, you know, it's okay, really, isn't it?
there's three outstanding reviews.
The first 15, 20 minutes I thought was pretty, almost like Stephen King type thing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Get lost in the woods, but not totally lost, because they can see their house, their new house they're going to. And it's like, we'll take the back route to it, it'd be fun. And then weird things happen, then it's like a empty city. And all these cafes, and one cafe's cooking food, and it's all quite mysterious and nice. And then when they start turning into pigs and flying around, and it kind of, I think it's just like Alice in Wonderland. They go down a rabbit hole, and things, crazy stuff happens. Yeah. And it's like, you can either go with things magical. Or being an old, boring person thinking, what's all that about then? And I know people that think it's magical. I know people that think this film is magical.
I think a lot
magical.
Of people think it's magical. Yeah, they do. Think it's so absolutely
amazing reviews when it came out. It was a 5-star everywhere. Everyone loved it.
I probably would have preferred to have seen it in the cinema. I think maybe it would have been a different experience.
Yeah, but I'm a bit like you two, that I didn't totally engage. I didn't. I hate the film at all. I watched it. But it didn't really stick with me at all. So I've got very little to say. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Adventure. Wow. No, it's Alice. Alice in Wonderland.
It is. Okay.
I like Disney better, though.
I liked it, I've got to say. I really enjoyed it. It was my favourite out of the three films that we're going to talk about this evening.
Okay. Yeah,
I liked it. I just thought it looked amazing, and it really was magical and completely bizarre and surreal. But then I like sort of Alejandro Jodorowsky's stuff. So the more surreal, the better. Yeah. So it looked amazing. Bizarre characters, bizarre concepts. The plot was fairly unimportant in a way. Mm. You know, girl gets trapped in magical land, has to escape whilst rescuing her parents. That's all you need to know. I just thought it looked really good, really amazing. I loved the look of it.
Oh, I agree with that. It looked brilliant. The animation is tremendous. They didn't have a story.
I mean, it was the first time that I've ever seen it as well. So maybe if I went back to it one day and watched it again, I would be as bored as you.
I've got a DVD you can borrow if you want. Forever.
No, I'm fine. I mean, I personally thought it was pretty good, actually. The best of the three that we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, I think it's the best of three as well, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Oh, dear.
All right.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Interesting. Mm. Mm. Okay. All right. Excellent. So, that's Spirited Away then.
Bit of music,
probably not going to say anything.
Now we're
going
to play half an hour of music, so we'll be back to tie things up.
Actually, the music is stunning in it. I didn't mention that. Did you really? Really, really good.
It really annoyed me, the music. I thought it was really out of place. I think that might have been something to do with my feeling of the film. I just thought the score was. It just seemed to didn't fit with the rest of the film.
No?
No, I think it was all too romantic and overblown in my view. There you go.
We'll
have a fight later on about that.
Each to their own.
Yes, Joe and I are going to go off and have some hair of the dog while Mike waffles on about music for 5 minutes.
Okay.
We're in a pliable mood today.
Yeah, there's pliable and there's pliable.
Yeah, yeah, okay, there's malleable. Let's carry on.
I thought it was pliable.
Stop this.
Music.
This is called Always With Me. It's the goes over the end credits. Couldn't actually get the original. Couldn't find it anywhere. This is a cover by Kate Covington. And actually, a lot of people really think this is better than the original. So take it away, Mark. Cool.
That's a beautiful bit of music.
You have to wait for 2 hours to get to that bit of music.
Not if you listen to this show, you only have to wait 20 minutes to get to that bit.
And that 20 minutes might feel like 2.5 hours, but it's only been 20 minutes.
Right, okay, let's move on then to the next film. Joe, this is you.
Yes. The next film we're going to talk about is a film called Persepolis, which I hadn't heard of, actually. And it's a film, a French-Iranian film by a woman called Marjane Satrapi. Is that how you say her name?
I think so, yeah.
Marjane Satrapi. So she is based on her autobiographical graphic novel about a girl, a young girl coming of age against the backdrop of the Iranian Revolution. There you go. And she's like a punk rebellious girl and she's relocated. And I'm not going to say anything else about the plot because that's kind of enough, isn't it? But I really liked it. I like the way it was done. I thought it was really stylish. I think the character was obviously based on her, was really brave and interesting and, you know, it taught me a lot of stuff that I didn't know, and I liked the animation. And I thought that it was a really good soundtrack actually as well. So there you go. I really liked it. What else have I got to say? That's it.
Okay.
I know that.
I'm gonna come to Mark now because Mark can fill some time.
Yeah. Well, I read the.
Yeah, Mark, give another synopsis. Yeah, yeah. No,
I
read the graphic novel. Not when it came out, but a few years ago. I think a friend of mine lent it to me, and I read it, and I really enjoyed it. And so when it got made into a film, I thought I'd seek it out, and it is very close to the what happens in the graphic novel, and the film are very, very close. And also the style, that sort of black and white style, that's how the book is. I really liked it. I liked the way that the young girl was sort of like a fish out of water wherever she lived. Like she was a fish out of water at the time in sort of the Shah's Iran, because her dad was sort of on the left and was against the Shah's regime. And then she became sort of a fish out of water when she, under the Ayatollahs and the sort of the Islamic Revolution, because she was the rebel and she was listening to punk music and, you know, she didn't even fit in. And then when she went to Austria, didn't she? And she was a fish out of water there because she was an Iranian immigrant and living with sort of mad old woman who didn't really like her very much, and she didn't like her. And it's, you know, so wherever she went, she was an outsider, and it was sort of an outsider's view of the world. And I really quite liked the way that was done. Again, it's a little bit overlong, maybe, as these things are. But again, I like very much like Jar. I thought the way it was animated, it was very unfussy, the animation, and very close to how. It was almost like it was lifted frame by frame from the graphic novel. I thought this was the best of the three films that we watched. To be honest, I actually enjoyed it. I've got this on DVD as well, so it's not the first time I've seen it. It's probably the third time I've seen this over the last, well, when it came out. I can't remember when it came out, but the third time. A decent film, and I'd sort of worth watching.
Okay. Mike, what say you?
I don't think Mike liked this.
It's okay. Silent. It's all right, isn't it?
I don't ever want to watch it again, but I did appreciate
Mike,
it.
How did you watch it? Were you able to catch it at a special cinema screening, or did you just watch it at home on a widescreen, screen LCD television?
I watched it on iPhone 5.
And we do not recommend this, listeners. We really don't. It's an insult to
other
the filmmaker.
Other smartphones are available. But I watched it legally. It's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
So it was a legal copy, so that puts me ahead of you, I think.
Why?
Well, maybe not. Maybe not.
Why do you mean I watched it on Amazon Prime?
I was just trying to
trying to make it detract attention from the fact that you watched it on your phone.
Yeah. Yeah. No one should watch a film on a phone. No.
So you watch this film on your phone, and now you seriously expect us to give credence to your opinion.
This is a film program. You do realise that, Michael, don't you?
It was an iPhone. Doesn't that count for something?
Not even an iPad.
No.
The smallest of all the screens.
But I've made notes.
Oh, blimey. Go on then.
Okay, go on.
Hit me up.
My notes, like, mostly black and white. Nice.
Genius.
I'm so glad you wrote that down. I mean...
Well, you don't often get black and white cartoons.
No, I thought it looked cool. It did look pretty cool.
Yeah, it did look. It's told mostly in flashback. The colour bits are her looking back on her life.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
And that's, yeah, okay. That's fair enough. It's funny you saying about Spirited Away, Mark, because you talk, well, you mentioned it exactly like this, but whitewashing. I think there's a bit of whitewashing going on, made me slightly uncomfortable. Like the voices by Iggy Pop, yeah. Sean Penn, and
yeah.
Don't strike me as particularly Iranian. You know,
but it was a, but it was,
that was the dubbed version though, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. I don't think it was. That's how it was made. It was actually they were, it was not a dub version. It was actually actually employed as proper.
So that is a strange thing.
But all the Iranians in it, apart from the girl, she looked more Iranian.
Yeah.
But all the family and the old woman looked Austrian or whatever she was. But they were kind of white characters that wouldn't have been white. Yeah. So that's kind of a bit weird. And even God makes an appearance, and he's kind of the white God, if you like.
Yeah.
The old man with a white beard God. So you think, wouldn't she have had a different God? Or perhaps I'm getting, oh, I don't want to get into religion here. This is all. I haven't had
enough sleep to deal with that existential conversation about what colour God should be.
No, but
possibly not, because a lot of, not everybody in Iran at that time were Muslim. Which is why a lot of people had to leave and were incarcerated because they were Christian or whatever. So it might not, you know, I don't know what her background is, but it doesn't necessarily mean she was a Muslim.
No, it just struck me as, oh, that's a bit strange. Yeah. I'm not going to go into religion and politics in the same field. Yes. None of which I understand. I've got, first third, all history lesson. I thought there's a lot of history telling me what's going on, and some of it was interesting, but stuff that was interesting, I wanted them to go a bit further with, because they blame Britain for basically fudging it all up, which I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. Now, but it, that kind of just dropped in that comment, and there's an English guy after the war. They did something or other. I'm not sure. I'm very...
There's actually the actual history of what actually happened and how that the Shah became came to power is really
so
actually
Britain
interesting.
Britain and America.
Yeah, yeah. They was, there was a,
put them in, didn't
there was a democratically elected left-wing government who, a socialist government, and America and the UK saw them as a threat to the oil. So they displaced them with basically a fascist in the Shah.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened.
So that is really interesting. Yeah. Except it lasted about 30 seconds.
You're right. It wasn't enough in it.
She
wasn't.
Choose what she's telling a story about. It's an autobiographical story, isn't it? About her. It's not an all necessarily a history lesson. So I
but this movie spent less time talking about that than it did about her shaving her legs.
Yeah, but if that was important to her in her part of her story, then necessarily.
So she thought shaving her legs is more important than.
But
the left wing.
I don't think I've got the energy to go.
But as Joe said, it's her story, and that's
in a country where you're limited what you're allowed to do. Then shaving your legs would be fairly important.
Feminism, politics, and religion all in one movie. Eh?
We've really stepped up since the last review.
Middle act stuff happens. I quite like the middle bit when she went to Austria. I actually thought, oh, well, it's a film now. I've been through the first half hour, and now there's characters, there's people. And I quite like that middle bit. And then she ends up back in Iran, and she finds out stuff has happened. So there's a lot of, there's an old cliche, really, show, don't tell. There's an awful lot of telling you what's happened. Like,
Basil Exposition was around.
Your uncle did this, that, and the other. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. But you don't see it. She's told about it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, it's a cartoon. You could actually show a lot. It's not like you ain't got a budget here to think about.
No, but I say, because it was very, it was based on the graphic novel very, very closely. Right. So I think that's why. They didn't have any extra bits in it from that weren't in the graphic novel.
I didn't know that. Yeah. It was just my view on the fact that I thought it was a bit too... And some of it's like on the nose, a dialogue. She says herself, and I made a note of this because it's so awful. It made me snort out my coffee. It was so
over
awful.
Your iPhone.
Yeah, I did. I had to get my Kleenex out.
Oh, God. That's not an image I want. I don't want to even think about that.
It's not uncommon. But
she
says, I found myself a stranger in Austria, and now I'm a stranger in my own country. And you think, that's the theme of it, but don't actually say it word for word. It's just...
Yeah, it was a bit of exposition, wasn't it?
Yeah, so... But it was okay. I didn't hate it at all. But it kind of a bit boring.
She went on to direct this totally random film with Ryan Reynolds and Gemma Arterton about talking not animals.
Really?
Yeah, sort of really bad reviews.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strange leap, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
But I wouldn't...
That's where she is now.
I wouldn't recommend it.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't put people off it particularly. I wouldn't recommend it, though.
I think I would recommend it. Yeah. I think it was interesting and unusual enough to be taken.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
At least it's short, though, isn't it? Hour
yeah,
and a half.
That's good. Yeah. That definitely has got it on its side. Yeah. Hour and 27 minutes. Yeah. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anything else?
Just enough to two train journeys.
Under 90 minutes, really, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, you could do that at lunchtime then.
it was an interesting one, wasn't it? Although there was some exposition about the political background at the time, which was interesting and gave some context, it felt to me like there wasn't quite enough of it. I wanted to know a bit more about the political background and what was happening and what was leading to the changes that were occurring. And there's that lovely bit where she's in the car with this boy that she's seeing, and they're driving along in the car and she holds his hand, and some soldiers see them holding hands and they get into a bit of trouble for it, and her father actually says to her, I remember when your mother and I met each other, we could walk down the street holding hands and nobody cared. And it was, I found that quite sad and quite interesting, because you tend to think that in these countries that they've had these really strict right-wing authoritarian regimes for decades and decades and decades, and it's like, actually, no, some of them, it's really quite recent. It's a recent thing. I found that very interesting. I would have been more interested in the political background and getting a bit more of what was going on there. The only other issue I had was it was a bit too episodic. Just this thing happens, then that thing happens, and that thing happens, and blah, blah, blah. I would have liked a bit more of a kind of a through line.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but the narrative didn't feel like you're watching a film. It's just you're watching bits and...
Yeah, absolutely. It looked beautiful. Really nice animation style, which I really liked. Really good voice performances. It just, for me, wasn't very great.
Wasn't very great.
It's okay, though, isn't it?
Is that your actual English you're talking there?
It's all
right. Sliding off the seat, it wasn't very...
It was okay, yeah. Definitely worth a look, I would say that. So what do we think in general then about this particular film? Mike, you think it's okay?
I think it's okay, yeah.
Worth a go?
No.
Yeah, I would recommend it. Yeah, I thought it was good.
And Mark?
Yeah, I'd recommend. I recommend a watch, yeah. I think it's got enough in it to hold the interest and,
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it sounds like we're all saying it's worth a go if you've got nothing better to do.
And if you listen to this show, then you really haven't.
Exactly. So turn this off and go and watch Persepolis. Right. Okay. Shall we have some more music? Mike, you are our resident music man.
I certainly am. Funnily enough, Joe, because you said you really liked the soundtrack.
I think I did, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't find one thing on the soundtrack to... Not one thing could I find that I liked.
You could have put Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
What, like a version?
See, I'm doing it now.
I did think about that and I thought, it's going to be bad enough how as it is without putting that. So, I've got brought a track along called Persian Love. See what I've done there?
So, you clever thing.
Very clever. By Holger Zuke, who died a couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
One of the founder members of Can, and it's a brilliant, brilliant track. And it kind of, you can imagine it in the soundtrack of the movie. I would have said to whatever her name is.
Marjane's
I would say, Marjane, stick a bit Holger on it.
Marjane, I've just watched your film on my iPhone and I thought you really need this song on the soundtrack.
You need a bit of Holger on there. And there you go, Mark.
Marvellous.
See what the listener thinks.
Thank you.
talked about. But
no.
Excellent.
Yes, very good, very good.
It was lovely.
Enjoyed that.
Thank you.
It was lovely.
You.
We listened to all of it.
Good old hookah.
Marvellous. Right, shall we move on with enthusiasm and vim and vigour and all that stuff to our final film? This is you. No, it's not you, Joe.
No,
yeah, you,
oh God.
Yeah, you do this one as well.
No, no. I really couldn't be so selfish.
No, this one is Mike. Mike.
Yeah. Well,
enthrall us.
Pardon?
Enthrall us.
Enthrall us, okay.
Please.
Oh, okay.
It's a magic word, isn't it?
Oh. Well, this film was called Waltz with Bashir. It's a 2008 Israeli animated war documentary.
Doesn't that just trip? That was such a laugh watching this film, honestly.
Yeah. Written and directed by Ari Folman. Don't know who he is, really.
I think he's a writer and director.
Is he?
He made a film called
Waltz with Bashir.
Yeah, that's right. I thought he did. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Anyway, he was a soldier in. He was a soldier, and this film is his own personal experience of his search for lost memories during the 1982 Lebanon War, when he was a 19-year-old Israeli Defense Forces infantry soldier. So this happens, 20 years after, I guess, something like that. And he interviews various people. Some there were with him, some are not with him, and a psychiatrist and various other people. And he's trying to piece together, like a jigsaw, what actually happened. Was he there at all on this particular thing, which is called the Sabra and Shatila Massacre, which is something, it was happened in 1982, and I must have heard about it on the news, but I must say, I know nothing really at all. But it's not really part of my consciousness at all, that war, which is pretty sad thing to say for me. But there you go. It didn't make a dent on me.
You should be ashamed.
I am. Totally ashamed. And I will atone for that later. anyway. And this massacre, up to 3,500 civilians, mostly Palestinians and Lebanese Shiites, were massacred by Christians. So that's nice, wasn't it? Nice Christian thing
standard,
to do.
Yeah.
And the IDF, who is his part, basically stood by and let it happen. Mm. That's the thrust of the story. And he's piecing together the clues for what his involvement was in the massacre. That's enough as a synopsis. I mean, that's kind of the whole film, but because it's a documentary, there's not really a plot as such. It's getting these things together. The film contains both fictional composites and real-life figures. And so that's a synopsis. So I'll just give you another few kind of flavour so you know what it's about. The interviews are real interviews. So the soundtrack is the real people talking, or actors, like composites with actors giving the lines of real people. And the film is kind of, I'm not sure if it's a rotoscoped, that's an animation technique, but it's like pretty much drawn over real footage. And it's the effect is it's like super realistic, some of the action. And I think it's really, it's a little bit overlong. It's only an hour and a half, but it does feel a bit longer during the middle. And something that happens at the end when he gets his memories back, and I won't give it away because it's a kind of a spoiler, but the last few minutes is genuinely affecting, I think. And really, like... And I know, like, after I saw this film, I looked at YouTube for Mark Mode to give it a review, and he loved the film but hated the ending.
Oh,
and
okay.
The ending, it gives a very polarising ending. And I don't think I'll say what the ending is, but some people hate it, some people love it. And I thought it absolutely made everything make sense with that ending.
Just out of interest, those of us who watched it for this show, what did we think of that ending? I personally agree with you. I really liked it.
Yeah, me too.
Really,
I thought it was really, yeah, really...
I thought it was effective.
Mm. I mean, yeah. I thought the whole film was pretty effective, actually.
Yeah. I think it was very... I was lying when I said Spirited Away was better. I think this is a vastly superior film. Mm. I was just like being a bit...
Michael-ish.
Flippant.
Yeah. So this is actually a really good film. I think really important film.
Yeah, it was good. It was really... I didn't even know, like, I didn't know that happened and felt dreadful for not knowing. But that's the fault of the Western world. They don't report on stuff properly.
No, absolutely.
I did feel like it's heartbreaking, actually.
Yeah, it was. And it really brought... Oh, I think I've just said it. It really brought out the horrors of war. And the last bit just really just... The icing on the cake.
But somewhere, at one point, someone compares him. He says, "You're like a Nazi," didn't he? That's kind of summing up to him, saying it's because he didn't stop. If you're just letting it happen, then aren't you part of it?
Yeah,
that's what the interesting thing is, isn't it? If you didn't actively, if you were just lighting up the flares, but then you're still part of that massacre, aren't you?
Yeah,
so this is an interesting question.
This was my problem with the film. This film. I don't know if people know about the Falange movement, but they modelled themselves on Italian fascism and Spanish fascists as well. You know, like the Franco. That's where they took their inspiration. And the Israeli army were in cahoots with them to kill Palestinians, basically. And there was no regret in this film at all. There's that bit at the end. We talk about the ending, but in the film, the interviews, it was just, oh, this happened. Oh, I can't remember this. Oh, I didn't know what that happened. Oh, yeah, we just did this and we did this and we did this and we did it. And there was no commentary on, hang on a minute, this was a really terrible thing that happened here.
Well, I disagree, actually.
And I don't think it was actually in the film itself, in the main body of the film, there was none of the interviewees seem to have any regret. They're always blaming someone else or saying, "And that's a fair reflection of the interview, then that's a fairy thing."
What about the guy that says he was racked with guilt and he went to the grave and he didn't do anything? He's just the one that got away when they were all being shot at, and he was utterly destroyed by it.
Yeah, but I think, there was that one person maybe, but there was a lot of the other people. It just seemed, and the idea to do it as an animation. I just think that, it's an interesting film and I think it was very well done and an interesting subject. But I just thought making it an animation that took away the seriousness of what actually happened, and it almost trivialised for me the seriousness of what happened.
I don't know, I almost feel like there was more subtlety to it, in that the people that were kind of higher up the military food chain, they're not really, they're trained to not show regret. They're not allowed
to. Absolutely,
The guys that were lower down, the guys who were like 19 years old when all this was happening, although generally not all of them expressed a huge amount of regret, you could tell by the way that their lives were so badly affected 20 years later that they felt absolute horror at what had happened and some degree of shame. And even though they didn't overtly say it, the fact that they'd spent the last 20 years in varying degrees of post-traumatic stress, to my mind, demonstrated that they knew this was not right.
Maybe it was because one of the guys was a reporter, wasn't he? So maybe the way he talked is probably used to being objective and matter of fact.
He's very famous in Israel, that guy.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think, I don't know, it's interesting that you felt like that, Mark. Mm. I didn't feel like that at all. I thought it was really interesting in the way it was, and you could see that there were so many people who were just trying to make sense of what they'd done in this.
I didn't get that at all. I think maybe that might have been the animation because it took away the facial expressions you might have seen of these people. And it just almost seemed, I don't know, it just seemed, and the interviews were recorded, there was no, there people just like, very matter of fact, of this happened. It wasn't sort of, I just didn't seem to be, there was an emotional detachment from, of these people who took part, and you know, they say, oh, we didn't actually kill anybody. But no, they actually took part because they lit the flares so this massacre could happen by these, basically, who are fascists. The Falange were fascists, proper fascists. And they were working in cahoots with the Israelis who were, you know, the state is built on the fact that they were persecuted by fascists and Nazis. And I just really thought, I was actually angry at this film. I mean, it's been made, and I thankfully the story is out more now, and that's a good thing that we know about. We've got more. What's the word I'm looking for? More knowledge of this massacre because of this film, where we possibly didn't have in the past. But it just made me angry that it was done in such a way that there was an emotional detachment from it, and I just thought it was.
So it's so interesting. It's so interesting that you think that, because I thought it was really intelligently handled, and it's a really complex, difficult. A 19-year-old kid, you know. I just think it's, you know, the fact that these poor boys. I mean, what were they supposed to do? You know what I mean? It's just such an. I thought it was very the way it was handled and put across was that you were allowed to make up your own mind.
I wouldn't disagree with Mark, because if that's how you viewed it, that's how you viewed it. It certainly didn't come across to me like that. I thought the horror was there in the numbness of some people to it. Yeah. When the tanks are rolling down the street and they were like firing just at anything. Yeah, and one character says, what we're firing at, it doesn't matter, fire. And that's a way of life, and they come. Is it sensitized or desensitized to it? It's just like totally numb to it. The central bit, if you look, well, apart from the ending, the central bit with the actual waltzing for Bashir is, which I won't actually give away exactly what happens there because it leads up to that. But that is an amazing little sequence. That is, I think.
I don't know whether the filmmaker intended this, but everybody in it, you can see that they're all damaged in some way, and a lot of them are living with a lot of guilt and shame and confusion and memory loss and all of these kind of things. And it focuses very much on them, and then it's only at the very end, and again, I don't want to give away the kind of final images, it's only at the very end that you suddenly see and are reminded of the fact that actually, these are the other victims of what happened. So everybody's victims of this. And then right at the end, it finally kind of shows you, if you like, the genuine victims, the innocent civilians that were murdered. And I found that interesting, that you almost forgot that act had happened until the very end, and he just kind of throws it in, and you suddenly go, oh, okay, right. And you, yeah, so I found it interesting that he didn't focus on those victims. He instead focused on himself and the people that fought with him as the victims.
I think maybe that was, but that's true, that they are, in a way, they are victims. But if you look at, I look at it sort of a bit more historically, you know, those soldiers were the sons of people who had been persecuted by Nazis in the war, who, you know, there were German soldiers. Oh, well, they're just the same. And it's just that they were doing exactly the same thing as their parents' persecutors had done. And, you know, and it's that, even if you can't, that you're in the army and you do what you do, but there wasn't any reference to that. And I would have found it more interesting and more acceptable and palatable if there'd been some kind of, well, this happened to our parents, what we're doing to these Palestinian people. We're just mowing them down, or we're letting them. Well, they did. They actually were mowing them down at the time. The Falangists were killing them and shooting them in the head. And they were, but they were just watching and just, well, yeah, well, you know. And it's like, no. This happened to your people, and you're letting it happen again. And it just made me really, really angry.
No, I wasn't saying I was going to speak. Don't worry, carry on.
So, what are we thinking then in terms of this film? Good? Well, very good?
Yeah, I really liked it. It was my favourite of the three.
Yeah,
okay. I would recommend it.
Cool. And yeah, Mike,
my favourite of the three. Yeah, definitely.
Mark?
I'd watch it because I think it's worth watching. I did as a film, as a piece of filmmaking, you know, as a technical filmmaking, I thought it was very good. But the actual narrative of it and the actual message it put across, I really didn't like. Mm. But I would say watch it.
Cool. There we are then. Oh, I think that is a given that you should watch Waltz with Bashir. Spirited Away, nah, maybe not. Persepolis, have a go at it. Waltz with Bashir, definitely have a go at it. Excellent, good. Are we finishing up with another piece of music?
Yeah, it'd be good, wouldn't it?
Go on then, Mike.
Well, you see how I don't just throw the music together here. No. This music is actually from the soundtrack this time. But before we played Persian Love, mm-hmm. and now we're going to play This Is Not a Love Song.
Ah. See what you've done there, Mike.
Yeah. But Public Image Limited, of course.
Marvellous.
Actually on the soundtrack.
Wonderful. Enjoy this, folks. We will catch up with you next month.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Cheerio.
Bye.
Bye.
This is not a love song. 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 Over into enterprise.